Because here's the reality. No matter what you're going through today or where you are at in life and what you're experiencing in life today, God has more for you. I'm telling you right now, God has more for you. Thank God that the best is yet to come. It's a saying we say a lot around here, that your greater days are ahead of you, church. We want to help you take the next steps as you progress in your journey with God, because with God, there's always more. And this is why we named the church Zao Church. Say it with me, guys. Zao Church. Say it again. Zao Church. Okay, it's Zao Church, all right? And I know people call it Zao and all other sorts of things, hopefully kind things. But it's Zao Church, okay? It's a Greek word that means living. And the definition is to live real life. To live the life that God has intended for you to live, not the life that the world wants you to live. To live real life, the life that's found in Jesus, Zao Church, all right? Now, we are honored that you're here. We've been praying for you. We've been believing God for this Sunday, that he would do something amazing in your life. In fact, I realize that there are many people who are just here checking us out for the very first time. You might have heard about us in the community. You drove by and you saw our billboards, or you received our mailer we sent out, or you received a social media invite, or maybe even a request from a friend. Your friend loves you for inviting you to church. But regardless of how you got here or why you are here, I just wanted you to know, from me to you, I'm honored, and I'm glad that you're here with us today. And if you'd allow me, I'd like to invite you on a spiritual journey. Actually, I really believe that you're already on a spiritual journey, whether you realize it or not. Regardless of if this is the church you attend or not, God has you on a spiritual journey. We're all just at different places within our own spiritual journey. See, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. He set eternity in our hearts, meaning this, there's a little piece in all of us that wonders what this life is all about. Is there more to this life? What was I created to do? You know, one of the greatest gifts that I can give to you is clarity. We can help answer those questions for you. The Bible's very clear on that. God has always wanted four things from you. This is how we see it, and this is how we say it here at Zao. It's actually the vision of our church. Let me give you the four things that we believe God wants from you, and we see it within Scripture. The first thing is that he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you personally. This is not about religion. This is not about anything of that nature. We're not trying to be religious. This is about having a relationship with God. And the invitation here is to know God, the living God. And this is not a mental knowledge, like know of God. I mean, the Bible says even the demons knew of God. They didn't believe in him. But this is a heart knowledge, to actually know God intimately and personally. This is the starting place for your journey. Once you know God, you're enabled to have power to find freedom, which is the next step in your faith journey. Find freedom from what? Well, you find freedom from the thing that if that thing were not in your life would be so much better, that thing. That thing that you don't like to talk about, that thing that you don't like about yourself, the thing that probably not many people know about you. It's that thing. We all have this. We all have that thing. What's that one area of your life that's not the best version of yourself? Well, God wants to give you power to overcome that. You know, many people are stuck and they're trapped in bondage. They spend their entire life believing that this is just always the way that it's going to be. My mom was like this. My mama's mama was like this. My mama's mama, mama was like this. It just runs in the family. We're Irish. You know, it's just like whatever it is. It's just how it's always going to be. And that, honestly, is a lie from Satan. You were not created to live in bondage, but you were created to live in freedom. Once we settle our yesterdays, God gives us the ability to see our tomorrows. And we do this by discovering God's purpose for our life, which is the third thing that we believe God wants for you, is to actually discover what is God's purpose for your life. And once you do this, it's like wiping off all the junk on a windshield with the windshield wipers. You get all that stuff out of the way, and you begin to actually see clearly. You begin to actually see where you're going in life. And what I found is that people try to find fulfillment and purpose in the wrong things. They try to find fulfillment and purpose in their career, in their hobbies, in their interests, in money, in things. And they don't find it, but instead they're left with the reality that with what they thought would scratch the itch didn't scratch the itch. They're still itchy. That's a good analogy, but I'm going to keep going. I'm sure many of you here today, you lie awake at night, wonder, what is my purpose in life? You just feel like you're missing something. Well, if you'd allow us to, we'd love to get to know you. We'd love to show you the scriptures and show you where we believe God is leading you. And we believe this is the destiny for every person. And that is the final part, is to make a difference. To make a difference in someone else's life. To make a difference on this earth. And I hope to lead you to a place where so many people have discovered that their life is not about breathing and paying bills, but it's actually about making a difference on this earth. You were born for what psychologists call transcendence. Transcendence. It's where true joy and happiness is found. And as the pastor of this church, I see myself as a spiritual tour guide for you, to help you on this spiritual journey of life and to lead you to a place where you can truly find joy and fulfillment. This is my invitation to you. We'd love to walk with you through this thing called life, where the final destination is not control and judgment. No, it's fulfillment and joy. That's where God wants to take you. I want to say one last thing on this. I don't want to make you an offer. I do this at many times throughout the year. I love to make it on Easter, and so many families have taken me up on this offer. I think I was kind of joking in the beginning, but now it's actually become something, so I'm going to stick to this. And that is this: give us a year of your life. Give God a year of your life. Go all in with the things of God. Come on Sundays. Go to the events. Get in a group. Serve. Give. Jump all in. We have so much to offer you. And I know if you do that, things will change in your life. I promise you. And here's the offer. If your life is not better after that year, we both will lead this church together and go find another church that will accomplish that, because that's what we're here for, to help usher this in, to help facilitate this, where you can experience true life-changing power, where if there's some stuff in your life that you're not happy with, there's some things in your life that you're just unsettled with, we want to help you through that, because that's what we're here for. We're not here for anything else but to help you on this spiritual journey. That's how much we believe in this and what we're doing. We're so honored that you are here. We love our church family. We love this community. And we're so happy that you're here. Okay, let's jump into the message. That was not the message. That was the lead up, okay? So, yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, here we go. Today we gather to remember and to celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died on the cross for you and for me, was put in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. You know, this not only proved that Jesus was God, but this one act made a way for you and for me to be saved from death, hell, and the grave, and to live in eternity in heaven. I want to show you my favorite Easter verse. I think I read this to you every Easter, but I love it so much. It's Romans 8 and 11. It says this: the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of God was the one thing that made this day that we celebrate possible. But check this out. The Spirit of God is the power of God, and it raised Jesus from the dead, and that same Spirit lives on the inside of each one of you. Meaning this: resurrection is not a one-time event. It's something we can experience daily. Like, think about it. You and I have the ability to embrace and experience the life-changing power of Resurrection Sunday every day. This is what he does. He brings dead things to life. That's what the Spirit of God does. He brings dead things to life. And this is our prayer for you. What the enemy has killed within you, what secular culture has stolen from you, the Spirit of God that raised Christ Jesus from the dead can bring life back into your body and bring you joy and fulfillment. So the verse goes on. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, here's the promise, the guarantee, signed, sealed, and delivered. He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The commitment from God is that he will give you life. This morning, God is offering you the resurrection spirit to come and live on the inside of you and change you from the inside out. He's offering you this resurrection power to bring the dead things of life back to life within you. This is more than just going to church on Easter, checking a religious box. This is life-changing stuff right here. So I say it again, this Easter, let's not just celebrate the resurrection. Let's embrace the Spirit of God that performed the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus wasn't just an event to celebrate. It's power to be experienced daily. I want you to believe this. And I want you to take in this phrase right here. The resurrected King can resurrect me. The resurrected King can resurrect me. Maybe you're at a place in life where things just aren't going as well as you hoped that they would be going. Like everything you do just seems like just falls short. Like you've read all the self-help books, you listen to Dr. Phil, and you've tried the counseling, and everything you've done, man, at the end of the day, your life just isn't where you hoped it would be at this point. Something is missing. I want to present to you today, could it be? Let me submit this to you. Could it be the one thing that's missing is something that you need to do? And it's the title of my message, and here it is. Crown him King of Kings.
The Bible says my King is a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.
Come on, y'all, let's give it up. Amen. Amen. Doesn't that get you going? Come on. Easter Sunday. I'm just going to punch somebody now. I don't know. I'm just like, I want to hit something over. Okay, I'm all right. All right, here we go. King of Kings, King of Kings, I hope to make this case to you today that you cannot enact the power of God in your life so that you can receive what you so desire until you crown him King of Kings. Now, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but this was actually the charge that they brought against Jesus in order to crucify him. Do you know what that charge was? The charge that gave the Romans authority to crucify Jesus? They had to have legal authority, and they did. They had a charge that they brought against Jesus. Let me show it to you in Scripture. Matthew 27:11, it says this. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Do you claim to be king?" I love Jesus' response. You could see how funny Jesus is and how gangster Jesus is. He said, "You said it, not me. You know, you said so. That's what you said. You said it." But then watch what happens next because of what Jesus claimed to be. Matthew 27, we'll skip to verse 29. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and they set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews." You know, no other person in history wore a crown of thorns as they hung on a cross. This was simply unique to Jesus' claim as king. They did this as a form to mock Jesus. And if I'm being brutally honest today, I think we at times mock Jesus as well. I think there are Christians and non-Christians alike that mock Jesus knowingly and unknowingly. And they do it because there's parts of Jesus that they like, and then there's other parts of Jesus they just don't prefer. Let's be honest, we like the forgiving Jesus, the loving Jesus, the friend Jesus, the Jesus that's going to give you eternal life. Yeah, we like that Jesus, but we don't like King Jesus. We don't like Lord Jesus. Why? Because people don't like being told what to do, even by God. And this is why we as people value freedom so much. It's because we want to be able to pick and choose what we believe. We have the freedom to do so. So what we do is we want to make this Bible fit the life that we want to live instead of making our life fit what Bible says. So we mock him. And we ourselves fashion together through our choices our own crown of thorns to be placed on the head of Jesus. But watch what happens next. Verse 37. And above his head they placed the written charge against him. Here's the charge that they charged him with. This is Jesus. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of the Jews. Now, Jesus claimed to be king. And although that might have sounded crazy back then, 3 days later, what we're celebrating today, Jesus was the only dead man that came back to life. He got out of that tomb and he proved to everyone that he really was the king. A few more amens would be great right here as I stand here. Thank you. So the charge against Jesus was he claimed to be the king. That's how they got him. Now, I find this fascinating. Do you know how the Bible ends? It ends with this book called the Book of Revelation. And the very final pages of the Book of Revelation ends describing the kingship of Jesus, him being king. So this is what I find amazing. The charge that the Romans used in order to hang him on a cross and in form to mock him is the very thing that God uses to establish the kingship of Jesus. Let me show it to you. Revelation 19, very end of your Bible, 11 through 16, says this. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. whose writer is called Faithful and True, is describing Jesus here. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So not only did the Romans use the crown to mock Jesus, here God's establishing Jesus' kingship in the book of Revelation with the crown of thorns signifying that he is king. But also, Jesus got a tattoo, all right? He got a tattoo on his right thigh that says, King. That's the theology of the cross. The very charge brought against him is the very thing and the very charge that God used to establish the kingship and kingdom of Jesus. That's the theology. But what does that mean for you and for me? Like, I know Jesus claimed to be king, and we see that later he proved he was king by resurrecting from the dead and ascending into heaven. But here's my question for you. Focus on me on this one. Here's my question for you. Is Jesus your king? Because it doesn't matter if Jesus is King of Kings if he's not my King of Kings. I know Jesus has many titles and he's known by so many different things, but today I want to talk about this one title that doesn't get a lot of airtime, and it's this. It's King Jesus, the risen King of Kings. That's what I want to talk about today. And I think, as I'm preparing this message, I was thinking, why don't we talk about King Jesus a lot? And here's my thought. It's because we don't live in a kingdom, we live in a democracy. That's why. I just want to show you the dichotomy between the two and kind of where our thinking is at. You know, there are many things within a democracy that we all live in and we all appreciate and we all can point out a few things, but let me just point out three big ones to you. First is this. As a democracy, we believe in we the people. We the people. That's how our country was founded. We the people. It's all about us and what we want. It's all about our governance. It's all for us and by us, we the people. Here's a second thing you see in a democracy is that we have a vote, and our vote matters. Like, if I don't like something, it's my vote not just to complain about it, it's my chance to vote to change it. If I want to create something, I get to vote to start something. The laws of the land that we all live in were voted upon by us. And here's the third thing is that we're self-ruled, self-governed. Now, I wish all countries would take a cue from us on this one, but let's not go there. We govern ourselves. We vote in a president, and we elect officials, and they represent us before government, okay? We all understand that. That's the world we live in, a democracy. Here's my point. The Bible was not written in a democratic way. But yet, we treat it as if it was. So we begin to bargain and negotiate and lobby before God. God, I think you missed it on this one. I think you just don't understand times have changed and we need to make some changes, some amendments to this. I think you've overstepped here. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm right and you're wrong, God, and you need to make some changes to this. That's how we look at the Bible in a democratic way, but the Bible is not written from this democratic perspective. It was written from a kingdom perspective. So let me show you the kingdom of God, what that's all about. First thing is this, in a kingdom of God, it's all about him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. It was with God in the beginning. It's all about God. And I hate to bring some news to you today, but your Bible is not about you. Good, you stayed. Nobody left. It's about God. This is a story about God. And God doesn't exist just to make you happy. If he did, he'd be a genie in a bottle. We exist to bring God worship. So maybe we should stop focused on what his job is and maybe start thinking about what our job is. Second thing is this, we don't have a vote. You know, the Bible and God's order that he set in place is not up for negotiation or a revote. He wrote this thing, therefore, we don't get to change it. You don't get to change it because you didn't write it. And you're not God. He's God. Therefore, we don't have a vote to change how he wants to run things. You are so encouraged. You came to Easter service today. I know it. I feel it. You're being encouraged moment by moment. Here's the third thing, is that we are God ruled. So there's no such thing, you're about to hear a pet peeve of mine, is there's no such thing as my truth. I love that saying, my truth. It's all about God's truth, not my truth that I just felt good about and made up in the moment. What he says goes. His word has always been, always will be. It's never changed, it never shifted, it's never changed at all. And yet we change our truth all the time to match what we're going through in life. His word never changes. We're God ruled. And here's the kicker, we're submitted to that, and as Christians, we're okay with that. We'd rather have him in control than us be in control of our own lives. By the way, if that doesn't sound fun for you, let me help you out for a second, okay? I got some good news. When you make Jesus the king of your life, he doesn't make you one of his subjects. He introduces you and brings you into the royal family. The New Testament talks a lot about us receiving crowns when we get to heaven, which we're just going to take off and lay at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't treat us like peasants. Jesus treats us like princes and princesses. But I just don't think many people understand that as Jesus is king, because they love his attributes, but not his absolutes. And so here we are, wanting things from God, wanting life change. Would you make my life better? Would you solve my problems? Would you answer my prayer? And they're not getting it. Could there be something missing in your life? Could it be maybe you have the wrong perspective of who God is? Maybe we are missing this resurrection power of God because we fail to see Jesus as king. Kings and queens. I love royalty. I think our culture is obsessed with British royalty, right? Maybe because, like, we don't have it, so maybe we're like, what would it be like? But I know you guys obsess about kings and kingdoms and queens, and you guys watch all the shows on royalty. Like, anyone seen The Crown? Anybody a Crown fan? See, I got a woo, all right? That's like three people, all right? I mean, that didn't really work. How about the Frozen? The movie Frozen. Anybody seen Frozen? Yeah, there you go. All the men around. Yeah, Frozen. We love royalty, right? I just know we love this stuff, and we love all things royalty here in America for some reason. And this past year, we saw history be made when Prince Charles was crowned and pronounced King of England on May 6th. Here's a picture of this young man here and the King Charles. And the staff that he's carrying there in his right hand is called the Sovereign Scepter. And at the top, there's a cross. And below it is the largest cut diamond in the entire world, 530 carats. Wives, just turn to your husband and say, I just want 30. Just give me 30. Like, I'll just take 30. Now, notice the crown he's wearing in this next picture here. The crown he's wearing, it's called the Imperial Crown. It has the second largest cut diamond in the entire world, 317.4 carats in that diamond. That crown is so precious, it also has 2,901 other precious jewels in the crown. How many of y'all want that crown now? I wouldn't, definitely not. All right. And yet we place a crown that's so precious like that on someone who's imperfect. So here's the thought I had. His mother, Queen Elizabeth, died on September 8th, 2022. But the king was not crowned until May 6, 2023. So here's my question for us. When did King Charles become King Charles? And here's the answer. The moment his mother breathed her last breath. They coronate him later, but he was already king. So he was king, he just hadn't been crowned yet, but he was still king. Here's my statement on this. Jesus is already the king, whether or not you have decided to make him king or not. He is already the king. So here's what I'm encouraging all of us to do. Easter Sunday 2024, would you crown Jesus King of Kings? Let me say it this way. The resurrection power of Jesus is activated at the level of our submission and devotion to him. This power we're talking about, this power that we need and want in our life, it is activated when we decide to allow him into our life. You see, Jesus can only do what you allow him to do in your life. He will only go where he is invited because he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way in. So how can Jesus take over and move in an area of your life that you have yet to submit to him? If you're lacking, if you're struggling in an area of your life, maybe you have yet to submit that area of your life to him. But once you do, then you'll begin to see God do some amazing things now that it's been submitted to him. Here's the truth. Jesus is king, and if you don't crown him king of your life, well, you're the king of your own life. And I think there's one thing we've discovered in this life is that we all don't make great kings. We have a world full of kings promoting their own agenda and wielding their own power, and this world is a mess. You see, when you rule your own life, it will always lead to a messy place. And to make matters worse, we begin to think God's punishing us when in fact, we're not being punished by God. We're actually punishing ourselves. It's called self-sabotage. As a church, we are actually in the middle of a study we're doing on the book of Daniel. It's an 8-week series we're in, and we're 3 weeks into it. We'll continue the series next week. Love to invite you back and join us for this series, but what we've been talking about, the book of Daniel actually starts out talking about the chosen people of God, this nation of Israel, that God was protecting. They enjoyed the protection of God. God provided this umbrella of covering over them. But as many of you know, they begin to think they can do things better on their own. What's God doing for me? I don't need God. He's actually probably preventing me from doing something fun. So they wanted to go their own way, and God warned them, if you go down this path, I have no choice but to remove my protection from your life. But because I'm a fair, gracious, good God, I'm going to let you go. And they did what many of us do. They thought God was holding them back, when in reality, God was actually protecting them. And they left and went their own way. They left the protection and covering of God, and that led them straight into the hands of the Babylonians, where they were in captivity for the next 70 years. See, they had to learn what I hope you and I can learn today, and that is this, that when God is not involved in your life, you're not going to like it. I want to close with a part of my own story. I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 10 years old, but I didn't give him full control. I walked an aisle, but I didn't give him full control yet until I was 13. You could say for the first 13 years of my life, watch this, I wore my own crown. I lived for myself. I lived for my own pleasures, my own desires, my own wants. Whatever I wanted, I did it. I mean, I'm the king. Hey, you see the crown? I put it on there. Until one day when I was 13, everything changed for me. I was at a party, a high school party, and I got into a fight. I fought this kid, and I won. Just pointing it out there. I just don't want you to think your pastor's weak, okay? I thought it was over. Like, I thought a fight was over. Until some more people showed up and said, we're going to move locations. Y'all going to fight again. We were at someone's house, and they wanted to move the location to the elementary school playground at midnight. Now, I know nothing good happens at an elementary school playground at midnight. Maybe at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday, but not midnight on a Saturday. So I did what any of you would have done. I weighed my options, and when no one was looking, I ran for my life. Don't judge me. I'm a lover, not a fighter, okay? Now, I'm hiding in this alley. This is a true story. I'm hiding in this alley, and I hear them coming for me. I ran, and I hear them coming for me. They were trying to find me, and I was so scared in that moment. And I realized this is where my selfish decisions have gotten me. I once enjoyed the protection of God, and I begged God to let me go on my own and do my own things, and he did, and now I'm hiding in an alley between two air conditioning units. And I realized in that moment that my crown meant nothing to me. In fact, this crown led me to a real moment of trouble. See, here's what I learned. You can only crown one person at a time, yourself or Jesus. I was crowning myself. So in that moment, I took off my crown, and I chose to once and for all take up the crown of Jesus and to crown him King of Kings over my own life. It's the best decision I ever made. I've been walking with Jesus faithfully since I was 13. And he's been King of Kings over my life ever since. But I had to remove the crown that I placed on my own head. And when I was preparing this message, I thought, I'm still left with a crown. I actually added this in late last night. Revelation 4, 10 through 11 says this. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." It's got to come today that you not only decide to crown King Jesus, crown of your life, but there's got to be a day you got to take off your own crown and lay it at the feet of Jesus. It's not just about believing that he's King of Kings. It's actually crowning him King of Kings. Would you be so bold today to just remove the crown that you have placed upon your own head that says, "I am control, I know best, I am in charge, I live for my own desires and pleasures"? And would you just cast it before the feet of Jesus today? And would you take up the crown of Jesus and make a declaration to him? "Jesus, I put this on your head as an act of declaring that you are King of Kings over my life. Jesus, today I crown you as King." I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads where you're at? I just want to lead you in a prayer today. If that's you today, I just believe the Holy Spirit is convicting you. Maybe you just feel like, "Man, that was for me. That's where I'm at today. I have my own crown. I live for myself. No one is in charge of me. No one is in authority over me." That's me. If that's you today, I just believe that's the Holy Spirit convicting you to take a step of faith today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. But instead, I'm going to pray for you. If you have never crowned Jesus as King, or maybe you crowned him a long time ago, but man, you know he's not the king of your life. Somewhere along the way, you took up your own crown and you began to live for yourself. Well, today is the day you take off your crown and you crown Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you would be so bold to pray a prayer with me today, removing your own crown and crowning Jesus as King of Kings over your life, I want to lead you. If that's you today, we're going to pray this prayer to God right where you're at. Just make this personal. Say, "God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross in my place for my sins. And today, I take off my own crown and I give you full control over my life. Today, I crown you King of Kings over my life. What you say, I do. Change my heart. Make me into the kind of person you want me to be. Today, I crown you King. And I'll spend the rest of my life living for you because Jesus died for me. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen." Quick clap and celebrate those who prayed that prayer. Very proud of you. Thank you.